So let's talk about second line therapy. And Ghassan, we asked the audience, you have a 60-year-old patient, child PUA, PS of zero, who responds to standard dose sorafenib for 12 months. I don't know how often that happens, with minimal toxicity, then has disease progression. What's next? And the audience actually is more, seems to be leaning towards a checkpoint inhibitor in that situation. About 22% say regorafenib. Ghassan, how would you think this one through?
I probably would favor regorafenib over here.
Can you talk about why?
So regorafenib is a rather pretty similar tyrosine kinase inhibitor to sorafenib, with some variation enough that it has some probably specific targets that apply, including Tie2 and IGF. And if anything, patients in the trial, which we'll talk about, that progressed on sorafenib, tolerated sorafenib, you give them the regorafenib, they definitely will get a response. And impressively, the trial was positive regard to the overall survival. And number two is also there was a improvement in response. More importantly, even though it was not planned in the study, but if you look at the median survival for the combination of the sorafenib followed by Rego, it actually was 26 months. So by all means, I would say sorafenib followed by Rego, there is a certain trigger that really will make those patients respond to Rego after the sorafenib.
Tim, any thoughts? Again, regorafenib, you see the audience saying checkpoint inhibitor, it's easy to understand. You know, certainly you have the possibility of a really impressive long-term response with a checkpoint inhibitor. You can understand why people would think about it. How would you generally manage this situation where the patient's done pretty well on sorafenib?
Just to give full disclosure, I've been working on immunotherapy for more than 15 years in HCC. But we have to accept that the data so far, the data that we have today is just better for regorafenib, and it's more solid than what we have for a checkpoint inhibitor. As much as we who treat these patients have seen tremendous effects, and I know we're going to talk about this later, using checkpoint inhibitors in HCC, but the issue, if you really look at the data that we have so far, clearly speaks for regorafenib. And if we look at the case, you know, this patient has been on treatment for 12 months the way it's been described, with minimal toxicity. So this is, you know, I wouldn't say this is a typical patient, but, you know, this particular patient apparently tolerated the treatment for a long period of time. And this is exactly the type of patient that we enrolled in the study where regorafenib showed a benefit.
And so, again, I can understand the attraction of a checkpoint inhibitor, although I guess you also have the issue of the patient, Ghassan, who progresses during the checkpoint inhibitor, you kind of lose control that you can't maybe regain. But in any event, I want to put out another second line question just to see how that affects the way you two and the audience respond. Now we're saying a patient had to have dose reduction of the sorafenib and was only on it for 6 months. And here, even more people going for a checkpoint inhibitor. Ghassan, how would you think this one through? You're still going with regorafenib?
I still go with regorafenib.
Tim?
Because the study allowed patients with this kind of dose still to be on.
Tim?
Well, so, you know, obviously this is becoming more difficult, and I can understand why Ghassan says that he stays with regorafenib. That's, you know, I can very much follow this. I think this really requires some time to discuss with the patient.
Yeah, we know in oncology there are lots of evidence-based options to consider, and this happens every day, and certainly the art of oncology.